Now I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, and we're going to read from chapter 11, the first 13 verses. Let us hear the word of God. And it came to pass that as he, that is Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This is the word of the Lord our God. And I would especially draw your attention as we seek the Lord's help and guidance to words in verses 9 and 10. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. This remarkable saying of our Lord appears twice in the New Testament. In the Gospel according to Matthew, it emerges in the closing section of the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord's remarkably comprehensive discourse concerning the kingdom of heaven. And there in that context, it is connected with a wide variety of practical and moral and doctrinal and pastoral themes. But here in the Gospel according to Luke, it appears in a passage which is all about prayer. The chapter begins with a question. The disciples come to our Lord and they say to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. The disciples of Christ had heard him pray. They were clearly struck by the power and the boldness and the spirituality of his prayers, the confidence with which he approached the Father. And sensing their own inadequacy, the feebleness of their own prayers and petitions, they desire to know how to pray more effectively. And so they come to Christ with this question. And he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, not merely to provide them with a form of words to use, but rather to enlarge their understanding of the character and the purpose and the focus of true spiritual prayer. And then he continued his instruction with a parable about a man who disturbed his friend at midnight to ask for 3 loaves of bread. And our Lord suggested to his disciples that this man was granted his request, not because he sought help from a friend, nor even because he approached his neighbor at an opportune time. On the contrary, he came to him at night. This friend was in bed. There could not have been a worse time for him to come and bring this request for bread. His petition was granted because of his importunity. He was not ashamed to ask. He came with boldness. He came with confidence. He hammered on the door of his friend and he asked without shame for help and assistance in his time of need. And so, friends, we should be encouraged by this parable and by the words which follow to pray boldly and unreservedly, without shame, bringing all our requests to God, our Heavenly Father, the God who delights to hear the prayers of his children and the God who freely gives. This is the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, I want you to see first that this is a word for those who seek but do not ask. These words of Christ, we may notice, contain 3 interconnected exhortations. Ask, seek, and knock. These exhortations belong together. We are to ask and to seek and to knock. You see, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge of the human heart, our Saviour perceived the tendency of fallen men and women to be deficient in one or more of these disciplines, asking, seeking, and knocking. And some do not have because they do not ask. That's the implication of these words. Every unbeliever is in that situation. We know that, whether he is a hardened atheist, or a careless hedonist, or a religious zealot, whatever his outward life may be like. If he is an unbeliever, he is lost, he is dead in sin, and he is in a desperate spiritual condition, and he will not ask to be delivered from the wrath and judgment of God. He hopes to receive life and peace and salvation. He is searching for happiness, for pleasure and fulfillment perhaps. But he refuses to acknowledge his dependence on God, and that the Lord is the only source of life and salvation. But you see, this is seeking without asking. Unwillingness to turn to the Lord is a mark of spiritual death. He who prays not to God, nor desires to enjoy assiduously his divine conversation, is dead. As said John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, the death of a soul is not to be prostrated before God. The death of a soul is not to pray, is not to ask for his mercy. That is death. That is despair. And I must warn you that there are many lost souls in hell that earnestly sought salvation, but never obtained it, never obtained mercy, because they never turned to the Lord, and they never asked for his salvation. They trusted in themselves, in their own works, in their own religion, in their own efforts, but would not turn to Christ, the Saviour of sinners. They do not have, and they are lost for all eternity, because they did not ask. They are responsible for their final judgment and condemnation. But then the children of God may also fail to ask. And so we read in the Epistle of James, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Even Christians may wrongly assume that the things they desire can be obtained through autonomous human effort, through good works, through their efforts, through the use of their gifts and resources and talents. There is no place for slothfulness in the Christian life. Certainly we must strive and work. But prayer ought to be our first priority, not our last resort. Over how many lives could it be written, the words of James, you have not because you ask not. We're often reminded that God will hold us accountable for every sinful thought, every sinful word, every sinful deed. But our greatest faults include sins of omission. Those things that we ought to do that we fail to do. And it's sobering to reflect on how many blessings and how many directions, how many helps we may have missed because we have shamefully neglected prayer because we have not asked God. God will judge us for our prayerlessness. So we must pay attention to these words of our Lord. Ask, and it shall be given you. Don't make a decision and then ask the Lord to bless it if you're seeking guidance in your life. That is the tendency of so many to do that, to choose their own course, to decide what they want to do in a particular situation. And when they've come to their own resolution, their own decision, then they pray and then they ask the Lord to bless the decision that they have made. But that is not the way to go. Ask. Ask the Lord to show you, to guide you, to direct your every step. Perhaps you're striving with a particular sin or temptation. You feel utterly unable to stand. You feel so weak. And this temptation comes, it's so powerful, it seems to overcome you. You can barely resist it. Well, friend, don't rely on the little strength that you have. Your courage or your resolution. Turn to the Lord. Ask for His deliverance. Engage in true spiritual prayer. Seek the Lord. Ask Him to drive the devil away. Is this not one of the petitions in the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Make that your own prayer. Perhaps you're experiencing great affliction, trouble that is almost driving you to despair, a heavy weight, a heavy burden upon your soul. You're ready to faint and give up. And you know that the Lord may not remove the burden from you for the rest of your days. You may be struggling with this particular affliction for the rest of your life. But if you pray for grace to endure, grace to help you, grace to strengthen you, grace to refresh you, grace that will be sufficient for every situation, then the Lord will hear and answer your call. Ask, and it shall be given. He will not withhold any good thing from those who love Him. This promise is a wonderful expression of God's goodness and generosity, isn't it? Everyone that asketh receiveth, not because they've asked, not because They are special favorites in the family of God. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Because the Lord delights to give. We may fail to ask because we think our comforts are, because we think our requests, our concerns are too insignificant to bring to the Father. But that's certainly not true. There is nothing in our lives that escapes his attention. No detail that is too insignificant for him. No care or concern that does not move his fatherly heart. The words of Christ assure us that the Father's willingness to give far exceeds the greatest extents of human compassion and sympathy and love. No loving parent would deny their children the bare necessities of life. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, says our Lord, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, these are rhetorical questions, of course. The answer is no. No loving parent would treat their child in such a way. Then why do we doubt that our Father in heaven will withhold from us anything that is good? Why do we doubt his love and his care? Why should we ever think that our troubles and concerns are too small to escape his attention? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Be encouraged in prayer. God loves to be asked. He does not answer us reluctantly, nor does he give us anything that is not for our good. His generosity and his kindness and his mercy and his grace knows no end. And he has proved his willingness to give by giving us the greatest and the most costly gift of all, even his own beloved Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let us boldly ask. Ask, and it shall be given you. But then, this is also a word for those who ask, but do not seek. Prayer is the means whereby we ask God. We come to him with our petitions, with our requests. Our Lord's second exhortation in this text is sometimes considered to be an encouragement to persist in prayer. It is that, certainly. But we're not constrained to limit its meaning to that. Seeking usually takes us beyond prayer. When a person truly seeks, they actively seek to obtain the thing that they desire. There's a striking example of this in the book of Genesis. We're told there that when Abraham reached a very old age, he instructed his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. And he was not to take a wife from among the people of Canaan, the land in which they were dwelling at that time, but he was to take a wife from Abraham's own kindred, from his own relatives. And so this servant goes forth. He comes to the city of Nahor. And when he arrives, he prays. He prays earnestly. O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Beautiful prayer, expressing his desire that the Lord would lead him and guide him. He prays. And his prayer was answered. As he's there, a young woman comes out to the well and offers to water his livestock, and he begins to speak with her. And the Lord leads him to Rebecca, and he goes into the house of Laban, and Rebecca is willing to leave her father's house and to become Isaac's wife. But you see, the prayers of Abraham's servant would have been worthless if he had refused to leave Abraham's tents, if he had stayed where he was, if he had not gone to that place and sought out the woman of the Lord's choice for Isaac, if he had not acted, or if he had not behaved wisely when he arrived at his destination. You see, he asked, he prayed, but he also sought. And friends, we must do the same. We cannot expect the Lord to act if we are unwilling to seek earnestly the fulfillment of his word. We don't know how he will choose to work. Often he takes us by surprise. He leads us in unexpected directions. But our persistence in actively seeking an answer to God will prove the sincerity of our prayers, will demonstrate that we truly desire the thing for which we ask. So we have this exhortation not only to ask, but to seek. Some believers certainly lack perseverance in prayer. But others may be more prone to forget this wider responsibility to seek and to strive. Prayer is essential, but we must not yield to the temptation to retreat, to hide behind our prayers, to state that we are praying about a matter and yet take no action. Do what is within our power to find the fulfillment of our desires. Our prayers need to be followed up with actions and resolutions. Perhaps you admire the gifts and the graces and the virtues of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You see their faithfulness in service. You see their patience in suffering. You see their wisdom in difficult circumstances, their joy in believing. And you think to yourself, if only I would be like them. If only I could have their graces. If only I could have their spiritual maturity. And perhaps you pray earnestly, that the Lord would form your character, that he would conform you to the image of his Son, that he would work in you what is pleasing in his sight, that he would bring forth the graces of his Spirit in your life, that he would make you the person that he would have you to be, that you would grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord, and you pray and you seek his blessing upon your Christian life. You have this strong desire to grow in holiness. And that is a good thing. But we need to understand that nobody grows in spiritual maturity without the disciplines of the Christian life, without prayer, without faithfulness to the public means of grace, attendance to the Word of God as it is read and as it is preached, through fellowship with the Lord's people, through study of his word, by meditation on the truth. All these things. Seeking, you see. Seeking God's blessing upon our lives. Seeking to grow in grace. We believe that salvation is a work of God's grace. He justifies. He sanctifies. He glorifies. He accomplishes everything for us. We can do nothing of ourselves. We cannot grow in wisdom or grace or holiness without his power at work within us. That is certainly true. In his delightful book, The Christian's Reasonable Service, Wilhelmus de Brackel One of the Dutch theologians from the Second Reformation in the Netherlands writes this: God alone is the cause of our sanctification. As little as man can contribute to his regeneration, faith, and justification, so little can he contribute to his sanctification. Believers hate sin. They love God. They're obedient. They do good works. However, they do this neither on their own nor independently from God. Rather, the Holy Spirit, having infused spiritual life in them at regeneration, maintains that life by his continual influence, stirs it up, activates it, causes it to function. This, says Abrakel, is all a work of God's grace, working in us what is pleasing in his sight. It is all of God. And yet this does not mean that we are altogether passive. And so Abrakel continues, man, being thus moved by the influence of God's Spirit, moves, sanctifies himself, engages in that activity which his new nature desires and is inclined toward, and does that which he knows to be his duty. He strives for holiness. He asks and he seeks. He seeks and he finds. That is the dynamic of the Christian life. It is not a matter of waiting and resting and hoping only. Though waiting and resting and hoping are very important aspects of Christian experience, there must also be seeking and striving and working and engaging with God and his truth, that we might grow in godliness, in faith and holiness and love. Perhaps you're discouraged because you've been seeking a particular blessing for a long time and you've been praying and there seems to be no answer. Perhaps you've been seeking victory over a particular besetting sin. You've been seeking to grow in grace in your knowledge of God's word. Or perhaps you've been praying for someone else, for a member of your family or a friend or a neighbor perhaps. Or you've been praying for strength to do a particular work for the Lord and nothing has happened. You feel like giving up. Friend, do not yield to despair. God has promised that he that seeketh findeth. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. That is the promise of God's word. Nobody seeks the Lord in vain. We read those words in the prophecy of Jeremiah. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. But this is also a word for those who ask and seek but do not knock. That's the further step for us to consider. Knock, says our Lord, and it shall be opened unto you. We ask through prayer. We seek by applying ourselves to the disciplines of the Christian life. And we knock by taking possession of the promises of God. Now, there seems to be a specific connection in the text between this exhortation to knock and the parable of our Lord concerning the man who disturbed his friend at midnight to ask for 3 loaves of bread. He knocked on the door of his friend. He comes, he hammers on the door. He calls out to him. He boldly calls for assistance. Even though he knows he's disturbing his friend at a most inconvenient time, this man has gone to bed, he's there with his children, he doesn't want to come down and open the door. But this man knocks. He's not ashamed to ask. He's not ashamed to knock. He's not ashamed to call out for help. And he keeps on knocking until his request is granted. So this parable teaches us that if we knock on the door of God's mercy, he will not turn us away. God is more than a friend. He is our Father. And if we knock on his door, he will open it, not because he is weary of our prayers, not because he desires to send us away and to keep us quiet, but because he is more gracious and compassionate and generous and loving and kind than any earthly companion. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Knocking is an act of faith which takes us outside of ourselves. Now, there are many examples in Scripture of people who knocked on the door of God's mercy. Now, think of a man who is described in the Gospels as having a withered hand. He came to our Lord Jesus Christ in his needy condition, and he pressed his case. His physical condition probably meant that his hand was paralyzed, that he could not move it. And yet Jesus said to him, "Stretch forth thine hand." That was his command. That was the word which this man was to be obedient to. This command was addressed, says C.H. Spurgeon, to a man who was hopelessly incapable of obeying it. There are many other things he could do. He could move his head. He could move his arm. He could move his feet. He could open his mouth and speak. But the one thing he could not do was stretch forth his hand. He's too desperately injured for that. But that's what Christ commands him to do. And in this great act of faith, this act of faith which takes him far beyond everything that he is capable of doing in his own strength and in his own ability, he acts in obedience to the Lord. He stretches forth his hand, and it was restored whole, like as the other. He knocked on the door of God's mercy. Asking, seeking, and knocking are connected with one another. You've seen that from this text. But there is also a progression from one to another. Asking is the most basic act of faith. We ask when we pray. We ask when we bring our simple prayers and petitions and requests to the Lord. Seeking demonstrates a higher level of spiritual growth and spiritual determination, this desire to press on and take hold of God's mercy. But knocking, you see, is faith on the verge of victory, straining forth to reach the prize. There's at least one example in Scripture of these exercises of faith, asking and seeking and knocking, coming together in the experience of one individual. We're told in the Gospel according to Matthew and the Gospel according to Mark that when Christ entered the region of Tyre and Sidon, he met a Canaanite woman. She was in a desperate condition, on the verge of despair. And she cried out to our Lord, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Jesus does not answer. Speaks not a word. Seems to ignore her. She goes to his disciples instead, ready to give up. But then she comes to him again. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She could not have been in a lower place. Here she is, desperately crying out to him for help. Lord, help me. The simple prayer of faith. But Christ seems to turn her away. And more than that, he even apparently insults her. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. What a hard word to receive from the Saviour, who is the friend of sinners. What is he saying? It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He's telling her how unworthy she was to receive his mercy. But she does not give up. Truth, Lord, she replies, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She asks, she seeks, she knocks, she takes hold of that word from our Lord, a word which seemed to send her away. But by faith, she perceives that he is not driving her away. He is merely testing her. He is merely proving her. He is merely bringing her to an end of herself so that she is ready to receive the blessing that he purposes to give her. And she acknowledges her unworthiness. Truth, Lord. I'm a dog. I don't deserve to eat the crumbs that fall from thy table. But is that not what the dogs do? Even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I'm not asking for great things, O Lord, she says. I will have the crumbs. I will have the least of thy mercies. And so by faith she takes hold of Christ and his promises and his grace and his mercy and his compassion. She knocks and the door is opened. O woman, he says, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed from that very same hour. You see, when we knock on the door of God's mercy, it is certain that we have come to an end of ourselves. That the Lord has dealt with us. That the Lord has proved us. And that we are ready to receive from him the mercies and the blessings and the gifts that he is designed to give. Some people don't knock because they're afraid to do so. They feel their unworthiness. They fear that the door will be slammed in their face. Perhaps that's your situation, even this evening. There is something you desire of the Lord. And you just feel something is holding you back. You don't have the boldness or the confidence to ask. Take spiritual courage to abandon oneself to the mercy of God. But here is the promise of our Saviour. This promise which is ours. This promise which is the inheritance of all God's children, of every true believer. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall be found. Knock and the door shall be opened. God has given you a desire to ask. And if he has given you a desire to ask, you may be certain that he will give you liberty to seek his face in prayer, and that he will also give you grace to obtain every blessing in Christ. These words don't mean, of course, that the Lord will give us everything we ask for. He mercifully withholds from his children things that he knows will do us harm. And he tests and he proves us. But through asking and through seeking and through knocking, we will obtain the blessings that he has prepared for those who love him. He will not withhold any good from his children. These words of our Lord remind us that we should ultimately seek spiritual blessings. Neither material goods nor earthly pleasures will satisfy the soul. But if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He meets our greatest needs, not by indulging every earthly desire, not by granting us every foolish request, but by giving us his indwelling Holy Spirit. Do you desire grace? Do you desire forgiveness? Do you desire peace and assurance in your heart? Do you wish to grow in your knowledge of God? Do you hope to obtain his salvation? Do you desire to obtain every spiritual blessing in Christ? Then keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, for he will not turn you away. In a moment, in our final praise, we'll read these words. The door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who stand in the way. No sinner shall ever be empty sent back who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Amen. Amen.